Welcome to the Polygon Show. I'm Chelsea. Nobody else is here. I thought about coming into the studio and just talking to myself, but instead I have wonderful guests. Jenna, welcome back 2 weeks in a row.
Hello, double decker. Double sandwich of Jenna.
Yes, sandwich of Jenna. that is an episode title. Welcome for the first time, Emily Heller. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Emily Heller. That is correct.
Awesome.
What a strong introduction. I feel like I know you already. I do know you. That was me talking as the audience.
Yeah. I mean, the audience may not know you, but you are our rad commerce writer. You also know a fuck ton about a lot of video games, tabletop games. You're like a well-rounded human.
Hey, thanks.
Oh.
I mean it. I mean everything I say. And only the nice things.
I like having friends.
I like trapping my friends in an audio setting where they have to say nice things about me on the record. That's my favorite
thing. On the record, Jenna, your shirt is wonderful.
Oh, thank you. it took me a long moment to be like, am I wearing a shirt?
I hate
and
that.
Is it good?
I hate that moment when people are like, that looks nice. And I'm like, what did I wear today?
Yeah. If I'm playing it cool, I'll just be like, thank you. And then later when they've left, I'll be like, what am I wearing?
I wore my Diet Coke sweatshirt today. I'm not wearing it currently because I got warm. But oftentimes I will wear that and then be drinking a Diet Coke because I drink a lot of Diet Coke. And people will point and be like, and I will have to remember that I am wearing a Diet Coke sweatshirt.
That's too much.
A lot.
Too much Diet Coke.
No, I mean, for you, I know that is not true. We have a full packed show today because guess what? It's still October. We're still going to be talking about spooky things. Jenna just cannot contain herself. She is just brimming over the top. But we're going to start with our one non-spooky topic. Emily, you went to Austin.
I did.
My favorite place in the world.
I went to Austin.
Yes. But that's not the point of the story.
No.
Tell me about Wargroove.
Great. Yeah, we can forget about Austin. It was very fun. But I went to Austin on my honeymoon. We went to the Austin City Limits Music Festival and... if you've never been to the Austin City Limits Music Festival, getting out of Austin after the Austin City Limits Music Festival is very difficult. we were in the airport and my now husband said, hey, do you want to play Wargroove? I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'll tell you what it is. It is like a turn-based game. It's you play as a commander. And you set up your command stations and your soldiers and stuff.
Battle words, yeah.
Yeah. I know video game terminology and also war terminology.
I love a good war term here.
But my favorite thing about this game is you can choose your commander, and one of the commanders is a dog.
Ooh.
So I have not played any of the other commanders. I have only played as this dog. He is a very good boy. His name is Caesar. And he has a whole backstory about how he's the queen's dog or something like that. But he is such a good boy that his commander power is that he inspires his soldiers so much that they get to take another turn because they look at this good boy and they're like, yeah, I can do good. Thank you, Caesar. I love you.
Is that sort of like when the mayor's a cat and it's like, they're not. There's somebody's doing the mayor work, but the mayor is a cat.
Right.
Somebody's doing that work. Is it kind of like that situation?
It is. Okay. It's me. I'm doing the work. I'm telling the soldiers where to go. But Caesar is the best boy. And that's all I have to say about Wargroove is that Caesar is the best boy. And I'm sure all the other heroes are good too, but I've only played the dog so far.
Is it music bait? Where does the groove come?
The groove is his commander power. So he builds up his power by attacking or defending his units, and then he can unleash it.
But where does the groove part of
War I don't
war
know
groove?
Why it's called a groove.
Okay, so it's not a music game.
No.
But it's also about war. Okay.
But it's just, you know, war.
You're in the groove.
It's war something.
You're in the groove.
It's always war something.
Okay. Yeah.
I heard this game is like really beautiful and charming. Do you play like other, do you like Fire Emblem or other tactics games? Was this the first kind of?
Not really. It's more my husband, Brian, he loves them and was just like, I don't know, we have a lot of time to kill. So he introduced me to it, and it turns out I love it. And I think a lot of me loving it has to do with the dog. But I like it because it's kind of just like a board game where you're moving your pieces around and kind of what's great about it is you need the way the maps are set up. You need ground units, you need air units, and you need water units. But you can't have all of them because you have a certain amount of resources that you have to use. So it's a lot about trying to figure out what your opponent is working on and trying to counter that and then seeing where their weaknesses are. And I have found my husband's weaknesses a lot because we are about 2-4-8 with me winning.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I beat him a lot. Sorry, Brian.
I mean, this is the perfect, you know, first test of the new marriage.
Right.
Being in an airport and playing Wargroove forever.
Being in an airport, being on a delayed flight. Also, the alarm went off while we were in the airport, which was very
like the
scary.
Fire alarm?
Yeah. And the loudspeaker said, hey, don't worry about it. Just wait. We're checking it out.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. What an easy thing to do when a fire alarm's going off in an airport.
That's the most Austin response ever. Just, whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Have a taco. That sounds lovely. A Wargroove's on Switch, right? So you're playing like two with like a little kickstand and two Joy-Cons?
No, it's a pass and play. We're doing pass and play. And it's great because there's fog of war. So I can't see what he's doing until he gets into my territory.
That's nice.
That's so good for flights and things like that. Whoa.
Great flight. If you're taking a flight soon, download Wargroove.
Yes. This is really good to know. Anything else about Wargroove?
Oh, another really good thing about it is that there are dog units, and when they get defeated, they don't die. They just run away.
Oh, did the rest of the characters die?
They kind of disappear. Okay. But the dogs specifically run away.
I love that they're like, yep, we've got a guard against people like Chelsea who get sad anytime. All this media lately that's like, well, we have to kill a dog to make a big point in the media. And I'm like, I appreciate it, but I hate it. And
every time a dog shows up in a horror movie, I'm like, what's going to happen to this dog?
I feel like, isn't there I think there's a one-shot website that's just like, does the dog die?
Mm-hmm. I'm
pretty
so.
Certain that is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love everything about John Wick except how it starts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But let's talk about horror. And I'm going to tell you both about Luigi's Mansion, which is... You know, it is gentle horror. It is horror because Luigi is a big baby. So Luigi's Mansion, this is the third game in the very long spanning Luigi's Mansion franchise. There are two other games, and the first one was on GameCube, right? So it's been a minute. And this one, you're in a haunted hotel, which is great. So you show up to this hotel with Peach, three random toads that are carrying Peach's baggage, and Mario. And all of them, oh my God. There's a clip at the start of the game where they're going like just talking in Mario and Luigi voices together at each other. And Mario, it's just so damn ridiculous. And like, you're like, oh my God, I'm glad he didn't give you normal dialogue. You just still say like Mario at each
weird.
Other.
Weird.
It's really weird. I love it. I don't love how Nintendo is just so weird. It looks like a beautiful cartoon. So typically, as it goes for Luigi, something goes wrong. All of his friends get kidnapped by a bunch of ghosts and put into paintings.
Ooh.
And all of the buttons in the hotel's elevator are stolen because the hotel is actually not a beautiful luxury hotel. It's a spooky, haunted hotel.
Mm-hmm. Which you should know that because it's called the Haunted Mansion.
Mm. Yeah, you would. Yeah. You would think that, but
good,
no.
Good deductive work, Emily.
Thank you.
Luigi doesn't know that. He was just invited on a rich hotel, all expenses paid adventure.
Gotta do your research, Luigi.
I know.
Google it, buddy.
I think he should have known because his ghost dog friend was in the first cutscene of the game. And if your ghost dog friend is there, like, obviously something spooky is going to happen. So I'm writing the review. I can only talk about it in, like, the preview aspects. But, like, so far, this game is so adorable. It is, like, it feels like playing a Looney Tunes cartoon in the good ways, where there's a lot of slapstick humor as you're fighting. Each area is themed. Like, there's a medieval, like, kind of knights area where you fight like a ghost that puts on all this armor and stuff. And then there's a cool music theater. And that boss fight was really interesting because you're fighting like a kind of like an Amadeus Mozart type ghost. And he's playing a beautiful ballet in which all these ghosts come out in tutus and start to dance. And then he possesses a piano that keeps dropping on you, which is just like, it's so cartoony.
That does sound fun.
It's really fun. So you have your main tools are like your ghost vacuum thing, which can suck, blow, and also shine a light, shine black lights, just like stuff like that. And you have Guiji, the most terrifying thing ever. Which is your gooey doppelganger with no pupils and who can just walk over spikes and like glorp through walls.
That was a good sound effect that you did.
Glorps. The sound design in this game is so good because each of his footsteps are like, quick, 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 quick. And I'm just like, this is an audio experience. But yeah, like, this feels like next level of crafting and care. All of the levels are really unique, and the lighting effects are so good. It's a really pretty game. The puzzles are super fun. I'm not really far, but yeah, I really like this game. It is not coming out until Halloween, which is kind of a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should be playing this now.
Mm. Is the difficulty level of the puzzles, does it make it feel like it's aimed for like a younger audience?
Or? It does. I would say that there's like definitely a younger audience curve, but there is a lot of stuff in there that is like there's gems on each level, and some of the environmental puzzles are really unique. One of it, it's like I walked into the music area and I just saw a tuba and I was like, the childish Chelsea said, what if I can blow the tuba with my like ability to blow air on my vacuum?
And
a gem popped out when I did it. Plus, that's it made awesome. An amazing like sound.
Amazing Foley work from Chelsea.
I was
going to
say,
episode.
Did you do the Foley work on this game?
I should have.
That is impressive.
I'm going to redo all of Luigi's Mansion with my own sound effects.
God. Please. Put that perfect video on polygon.com.
It's just very much like, I don't know. That's like when you want to play something that's extremely light and charming and it will just make you laugh the whole time because you're like, this is so silly. It is very much that game. It's not spooky, but it is cute as heck.
It sounds delightful. Everything I've seen about it so far has looked like it's just like a good fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love just a well-made, cute, fun game.
Yeah.
It's okay if it's for babies.
Yeah. That's what I like about Nintendo. Sometimes it's for babies and sometimes I want to be a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling this to Emily, but I will share the story again, but it's extremely cute. And I take the ferry home. Yesterday I was like sitting on the ferry next to a kid and I pulled out my Switch and he suddenly was like, what you got there? He was like six maybe. I was like, oh, this is a Luigi's Mansion. He's like, I don't know that game. I'm like, oh, it's not out yet. And his face looked like I just was like, this is the coolest thing you'll ever see, apparently. And he was just like, jaw to the floor, like, whoa, what? And he was like, I was asking him questions about the video games he played because I was like more interested in him. And he's like, I think you can go in the next room now.
Yes.
And I was like, I love you. This is so cute.
I never feel better than when a child thinks I'm cool.
I know. I know. They're so easy. There's, at that point, it's like everything's amazing. Everything's a 10. And she's like, oh, this is so cool. So yes, I do think that this would be a really fun game to share with a kid.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In a lot of ways, the leader of Canada is not like the leader of the United States. Justin is 52, Joe is 81, but the two do share some struggles. Trudeau's been in office for a while, he's being challenged by a conservative populist, and he's struggling in the polls, especially with young people. But now, he's got a plan to fix it, all of it.
Among the $52.9 billion in new spending,
proposing a $23 billion program to get nearly 4 million homes built between now and 2031.
He's got a budget that speaks directly to millennials and Gen Z, or Gen Z as he calls them, and he's hoping it'll keep populism at bay in Canada too. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to join us on Today Explained to tell us all about it. Today Explained, Vox's daily news podcast, Monday through Friday, in your feeds.
Other Halloween stuff. All the games are running Halloween events right now.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time to do that.
Heck yeah.
So,
arguably the only time to do that.
Yes, it would be weird in February.
I would be delighted.
I mean, yeah, you
personally.
You feel like a person that has definitely at any age of your life been like, every day is Halloween.
Could be. Could be. If you want it to be.
If you want it to be.
Live your life.
Yes.
Every day is Halloween in your heart.
Yes.
Yes. In your heart and also currently in Overwatch.
Yes. That was a beautiful transition. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ruin it by calling attention to it. It was just so masterful.
Thank you. So tell me about the Overwatch Halloween event.
So I don't know if it's different from years past because I've never, for whatever reason, never played the Halloween. The reason is I'm very busy during October, so I don't often have a chance to get down on some video games during the month.
But I feel like you're like, this is my October schedule, and I'm planning it in July, and this is the things I am very busy.
You're not wrong. Most, like, I mean, you're not wrong. I'll just say that. But I just, like, have needed some, like, non-stressy, just sit down and hang out. And Overwatch is so good for that because it's very low stress, at least the way I play it. So I've been getting into the Junkenstein's Revenge, which is like they usually for like special events have special game modes where you're not fighting against other players, which is something that I could give or take. It's just like you on a team of other players fighting against like AI. So I've been doing that and it's really good, but also just makes me so angry that there's no story mode for Overwatch. And I guess maybe never will be at this point. It's disappointing because it's so fun to play in this world and have it not be super stressful because other people are playing at you and the stakes are very high. So I just desperately want it to be like that. It's a fun game. It's fun, though. It's like a Frankenstein-y, but robust.
Is it? That's so you can only play as certain members of the Overwatch squad, right?
Yeah, they limit it to like, it's like 8 or 10, I'm not certain offhand, members. So it's a little bit more limited, but one of the characters you can play as is Widowmaker, who I main and I love, and whom I desperately want to unlock her scorpion skin. Because it's cool.
Does she actually have like a scorpion tail?
Or is her hair becomes like a scorpion tail? It's very good.
Any kind of hair braid art I'm always here for.
Yeah, and Widowmaker usually has some pretty cool, sometimes pretty weird hair stuff. But it's a cool scorpion. She's a cool scorpion lady.
Which one? And I'm sorry, Polygon Show audience, don't get mad at me. I don't play Overwatch.
Yeah.
Which one is Widowmaker?
She's the sniper. She's like a very tall French woman.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, with like the blue skin.
I know enough about Overwatch that I feel like I can recognize a few of the characters.
And like her past Halloween skins have been like a spider. Yeah. Ballerina, and it's like, that's fine, but what if a scorpion? And finally my dreams are coming true.
Oh, that's so good.
Who's the hot cowgirl lady?
Ash.
Yeah. Can you play her?
You can't in the special mode. I'm sorry. You can play as McCree, who's the hot cowboy man.
He is I just was like, maybe I don't want that sentence to be recorded.
I only ever want to play as hot ladies in video games.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the draw of Widowmaker. She cute and
great.
She shoot and I shoot. She attacks, she do not defend. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, so have you ever played any Overwatch?
I have dabbled. I have played maybe three matches in my life. And just, here's a fun fact about me, is if I am bad at something immediately, I just don't like it.
Oh, no!
So
how do you ever get better at anything?
I don't. I'm good at it or I stop.
I'm good or I quit.
Or I, like I did with Breath of the Wild, which is one of my favorite games ever, but I spent the first half of that game talking about how much I hated it because I was so bad at it. But then I got good and then I loved it.
Well, that's clearly you didn't learn anything from that experience, though. But
I mean, I'm with you, though, because I kind of have to gripe my way through something to get good at it.
Yeah. I worry that I am creating myself to be a heel on this podcast.
Yeah. You have not said anything too controversial yet.
Great.
No, there's still time.
There's still time.
We only have 19 minutes gone. What are you going to say? Like,
oh. Yeah. We'll just let you stew on that.
Yep.
Now and hopefully not get too nervous and self-conscious.
Jenna, I don't want you to go into like too deep in a headcanon or lore, but like how would a Overwatch story mode go in your brain?
God, the only thing I think of is how much I would want it to be Halloween themed all the time. that's a great question. I mean, I appreciate that it's difficult because there are so many characters. I feel like I would want there to be like four different short story modes where you play as like the different teams in Overwatch and sort of like play through each of their stories. And obviously that would involve like all the comics for it have like the teams butting heads in one way or another. So like, give me that and let me play it.
Yeah, I mean, they've like done story adjacent events before, but yeah. they're all in the past too, so it's kind of weird. It's when they gave Mercy the mom haircut.
And yeah, you can't like circle back and play those. So it's like you have to do it during these Halloween events or the various events during the year or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cater to me.
They're trying to cater to the problem with Overwatch is they've tried to cater to everyone. It apparently includes Switch owners and it is bad.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Just based on like, I don't think the Switch can run Overwatch. I think we've reached the limit of things the Switch can run and that's it.
Yeah, I appreciate companies wanting to get their games on the Switch because I want all games to be on the Switch, but I shouldn't always get what I want.
Yeah.
And especially in the case of Overwatch on the Switch.
Sometimes I ask for too much.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
No. I mean, yeah, it's basically like I love the Switch. I think it's my favorite thing ever. Good gaming console.
Yes.
It's a phone. Like, it's a phone. Like, it. Yeah. Speaking of phones. This is a only okay transition, but also going back to Halloween events. Emily, you are playing Two Dots' Halloween event. I want to check in though because I like Two Dots is a great mobile game.
Yes,
but tell us one if people don't know about Two Dots, what it is.
Great,
and then tell us about your feelings.
Yeah, so Two Dots is a great mobile game. That's very pretty. It's just one of these things where you're connecting dots to clear them. If you make squares, it clears them all of the same color. One of these that is just endlessly repeatable. There are a bunch of little power-ups that you can get. The best one is the one that makes all the dots the same color, so you can just draw a big square and all the ones in the middle explode, and it is so satisfying.
Yeah, that game even has a little bit of haptic feedback when you make squares.
Yes.
It honestly is like the best, like, oh.
Yes, it vibrates when you make a square, which is also very helpful because sometimes what I used to do because I turned off vibrations because I was playing it in bed and annoying my husband, so sometimes when you make a square, it doesn't connect to each other. And so you only get those four dots and not all of them. And it's really annoying. Anyway, so they have this new Halloween event and I was not playing this time last year, so I don't know if it was the same, but it's basically Where's Waldo, which is not what I want in my mobile game about connecting dots in a satisfying way.
How?
So there's this illustration that is, it gets bigger as you clear each screen. So it starts out with, I think it's like a haunted house area, and you're looking for little icons in this haunted house. So it's like there are four eyeballs, there are five witches' hats, and you have to find them in this illustration, which is a fine game, I guess, but
it's not the game that you're playing. No.
It's not the game I was promised. It's if I wanted to play this game, I would play this game. There are plenty of mobile games that are just
hidden eye puzzles. Yeah.
It's also not my favorite genre, and it's really annoying to me because I am a big completionist and I want to finish everything. So I started doing this thing and spent real, I mean not real money, but the game's version of real money that I could pay more money to replenish, which I have not yet, but I don't rule it out. To sort of expand the map, basically. So once you find all of the things you can find in the haunted house, you can pay coins to expand the map, and it goes to a pumpkin patch, and you have to find stuff in the pumpkin patch.
That is also so cutesy that kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, I did that for a while, and then I was like, I love myself. I don't have to do this anymore.
You do not.
So I just kept playing the real game, Two Dots, and ignored the Halloween event, which hurts my soul to have to ignore a Halloween event. But it's a bad Halloween event.
You deserve better.
I deserve a better Halloween event.
Yeah.
That is true. Thank you, Jenna.
Heck yeah.
Maybe I should start playing Overwatch.
No. Yeah, wait. Are there any, like, I just feel like, I know that it is an unfortunate pigeonhole, but I feel like tank, like, support or tanks are the best ways to start if you wanted to start playing Overwatch. Are any of those in the Halloween event?
No, not really. The Halloween, there's like, I don't think there are any tanks in the Halloween event. It's mostly just like the shooty boys. So it's like McCree and Soldier and Zenyatta.
I definitely played as Mercy when I tried to
play. I love
play.
Mercy.
Yeah, I love Mercy
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, if you've never played Overwatch before, Mercy is a safe bet just because, like, her movement's very fluid, so it's easy to not get trapped, which is a scary thing to feel, and, like, you just have to, like, be more aware, but you don't have to aim as much, which yeah. I think is nice for people who are new to it. But you can't play that in Junkenstein.
Man. Yeah, like, I feel like Lucio... Also, my Overwatch knowledge is old. I know that the meta has changed. Like, I used to be a D.Va main, and I know that they've changed her. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to play this game anymore.
Yeah, they nerfed Symmetra, and Symmetra is one that I never mained Symmetra, but I really love to play Symmetra, and they nerfed her, and now it's like, she's still fine. She's just not as good as she was.
Yeah,
it's disappointing.
Mercy's the same way. So
Yeah.
And I love playing Lucio, actually. Like, if I'm going to play support, I will, like, definitely play Lucio. He's very fun.
Yeah. Again, great movement speed, and you don't have to aim.
Do not have to aim. And, yeah. And he says the silliest things ever.
Pump it up.
Pump it up. So, since it's Halloween, let's talk about more horror movies.
Yeah.
Emily... Tell me about this. Is it every day you're watching something spooky?
Yeah, so...
You got married this month, or like last month, so I guess technically.
Yeah, I got married at the end of September, and then we kind of realized we didn't make any October plans because we planned to get married at the end of September. So we started this project where we're watching a horror or Halloween-themed movie every day in October, and that was put on hiatus a little bit because of our honeymoon, but we made up for it yesterday because we both worked from home because our flight was very delayed, and just put on a bunch of episodes of Scooby-Doo in the background. So that counts.
Are you watching like OG Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? I did the Boomerang 7-day free trial, so we could watch Scooby-Doo. But yeah, we've watched some really cool movies because I have only relatively recently gotten into horror because I was a little baby for a very long time. So there's a lot of blind spots in my sort of horror knowledge. So we've been using that to sort of as an excuse to bone up on some classic horror that I haven't seen. Also just some fun ones that... We've missed somehow, but last night I watched Psycho for the first time. Ooh. Which that is a bonkers movie.
The first time, did you go into it kind of knowing what it was about?
Yeah, and I'm really bummed that I did because it's, I mean, spoiler alert, I guess.
It's okay. I think it's fine.
Yeah. But like Norman Bates's mother is dead and he's killing people dressed up as his mother. And if I didn't know that, I feel like that would be an incredible twist. And it made me realize that if we ever invent that Men in Black Neuralizer thing, I'm just going to use it to watch movies. I know the ending too. So I can see movies for the first time without it being spoiled. Like, can you imagine watching Star Wars for the first time
and not knowing anything about it?
Darth Vader is his father?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean, that is the sort of tragic thing about these popular movies that do twists is like that twist becomes so common and then you just know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now I very much want to watch the shot for shot remake.
Oh my God, with Vince Vaughn.
With Vince Vaughn.
Oh my God.
Have you seen it, Jenna? I feel like.
Yes, absolutely. I've also seen the two other Psycho sequels that were made after Psycho.
Didn't they also try to make a show?
They did. I watched the first episode and had some misgivings.
I just don't think they need to revisit Norman Bates anymore.
Is it Bates Motel?
Yeah.
That's the show?
Yeah. I don't want to get too into it, but the first episode, the show basically opens with his mother getting sexually assaulted graphically.
Why?
Yeah, a great question, Chelsea.
Also, the politics of that movie are super not great in 2019, no need to revisit. It's a very good movie, but it's gross.
Of its era.
You just realize you're like, okay, that's of its era.
Yeah.
And that's, oof.
You should, if you liked that, I would recommend, this is an open recommendation, Pretty Poison.
Okay.
Which is a movie Anthony Perkins made after that I think if you're coming from Psycho, watching Pretty Poison is great because it's the way that you look at his character is very reliant on having seen Psycho. And it's just a good, weird movie. Also, very of its era.
Mm. Yeah, another one that we did that I had never seen was The Conjuring. It's also a very good movie, and I was inspired to watch that because I just recently read Sadie Doyle's new book, which is called Dead Blondes and Bad Mothers, and it's really good because she talks a lot about how a lot of our horror tropes, spoiler alert, are basically about how we hate women and girls and are terrified of them.
Jesus.
So it's a really good book, really fun read despite very depressing subject matter.
The whole concept of the final girl, this is something that I think about a lot because this is just my life. The whole concept of final girl, which is created by Carol Clover in her book Men, Women, and Chainsaws, which is great. It is a little academic, but I think it's worth pulling through, is all about like this idea of like the final surviving woman of a horror movie is the final girl. And that has sort of been taken up as like an empowering thing. But her point is that It's not. It's just this weird way of conflating survival with masculinity and how in order to survive, you have to be like the least feminine version of yourself. It's fascinating, but it's very much in line with this.
Yeah, it puts a morality on it in a weird way.
Don't they put other moralities on it, too? Because usually that character is like not, I hate to use this word, but slutty, you know?
Yeah, well, they never have sex, and they usually have, like, gender-neutral or masculine names. The only way that they survive, with the exception, I will say, Friday the 13th, I think, subverts this really interestingly. They only survive by taking up a weapon and murdering the thing that's murdering them. So it's like, it's this weird process of embracing violence as the solution that's like, it would be okay if it were one movie, but it's like most horror movies. And it becomes this weird thing where it's like we shift from identifying with the monster in horror movies to identifying with the final girl once she becomes masculine enough for us to want to be in her shoes, basically.
And I think she's often only interesting in her opposition to this killer.
Yeah, she's like the cool girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Who's defined by the trauma she goes through. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love horror movies, you guys.
Well, so to bring it back around, another movie that I watched in my quest to watch a movie every day is Creep and Creep 2.
I don't know anything about these movies, so.
So I can give you a quick rundown.
Yes,
which
please.
Is, so it's a found footage. The first one is about a freelance videographer who gets called to this weird cabin in the woods by a weird guy played by Mark Duplass, I think appropriately, because he seems like a weird guy. I'm sure he's very nice. who basically says that he's dying and he wants to record a video for his yet to be born child. And then it just gets creepy as per the title. And the guy just keeps saying weird stuff. And then when the videographer is finally like, I would like to go home, he starts getting really weird. And then the guy starts sending stuff. The titular creep starts sending stuff to his house. And I will actually put a spoiler warning on this. He eventually kills him by chopping his head with an axe. And it's wild.
Wait. He kills...
The creep kills the videographer. So
Jesus.
It's found footage in that this is what he was recording.
Oh.
Okay. So Creep 2 is not the videographer returns.
No. So in Creep 2, which I liked better actually, is it's the videographer is a woman, and it's a woman of color, and she is basically a YouTube personality where she does a show about just weird people that she finds on Craigslist. But wow. Her show isn't doing well, and so she's like, this is going to be the finale. And so she goes to this guy's house, and he tells her, I'm a serial killer. I'm not taking any joy in my killings anymore. I would like you to record this video, and then I promise I'm not going to kill you, and then after we're done, I'm going to kill myself.
How believable.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's great about this movie is that this woman who is making the docu-series about him is just as interesting as he is. She is. The way she reacts to him is so weird and almost creepy in and of itself.
I mean, she's probably like, I like this character concept because she finds weirdos on Craigslist. She's definitely not okay.
Yeah.
And she's probably got a lot of proclivities about people and her relationships to them. I like this idea.
So one really memorable scene is, so he's, like I said, creep, weird guy. He's like, if we have to have this intimate relationship. So in order to do that, the most intimate you can do with someone is to see that person naked. And so he fully strips. And so she is filming it. And you see Mark Duplass's penis, which is another plus or minus for this movie, depending on how you fall.
I'm adding it to my mental list of movies where we get to see male genitalia.
Yes.
I shouldn't say male genitalia, where we get to see penises.
Yes. So that happens, and she's like, okay, so me now, right? And he gets visibly flustered. He's like, no, and I, what? So she hands him the camera and is like, okay, so like you're gonna film me. And he, the character, like pans up so you don't see her naked at all. You just see her like take off her clothes, and it's like he's uncomfortable with filming her naked, and we don't have to see a naked woman.
Interesting.
In this movie. It's very well done.
That's fascinating.
And it's directed by the guy who, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but it's the guy who played the videographer in the first movie.
Whoa!
Is the director.
Okay.
So highly recommend, specifically Creep 2, but I think Creep 2 is better if you've seen Creep.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're getting invested in the Creep.
Where are you watching these movies, by the way?
Creep and Creep 2 are on Netflix.
Ooh.
Psycho, I believe, was on Stars. Which I also did a free trial of.
Gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. Well, good. I love when we can give more streaming horror recommendations.
Yeah. And just final thing that I love about Creep is like in response to all of the Joker takes, which are about it's a character piece, and you're like supposed to sort of sympathize with this bad guy and all this stuff. And in Creep, that is a true character piece where it is about a character who is a real weirdo and a very bad person. And you're not asked to sympathize with him. Hmm. You are sometimes asked to try to understand, or not even understand where he's coming from, but sort of give nuance to his character. But it's never, don't you feel bad for this sad white man? Which I really love.
This is great because you didn't even know we talked about Joker last week.
Did you?
Depth. This is wonderful continuity.
It's a good, good follow-up.
Yes, I love this.
Don't watch Joker. Watch
the
Creep.
Alternatives, yes, good alternatives to Joker. Watch Creep. Awesome, Jenna.
Yeah. Hi,
Chelsea. Do you have any other horror recommendations to add this week?
Not any new ones to the stuff I said last week. But I did just finish watching John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, which is The Thing, the one everybody's seen, and then Prince of Darkness and In the Mouth of Madness, which were made like early, I think early 80s, late 80s, and then in the 90s. So a long span. He was making other movies in between, but these three movies sort of get coupled together because they're all about like people getting possessed or taken over or replicated in some way. So I finished watching all of those sort of back to back to back to get that full John Carpenter experience. And The Thing, I mean, if you've seen The Thing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The Thing, a classic.
Go Billy.
A great one. Prince of Darkness, a slog.
Have not seen.
Yeah, I can't necessarily recommend it unless you're like a really hardcore John Carpenter fan, because he wrote it as well, so that's interesting, but it's not what I would call good. And that's a real weakness of the movie. It just felt like there were like scenes missing. And so like it feels like there's like three scenes missing that are supposed to be there to justify what's happening. But it's like about what if Jesus and Satan were not deities but aliens. Then it doesn't really do anything with that. It's still like a very classic like apocalypse demon summoning sort of movie. It's fine.
Okay.
And then In the Mouth of Madness is buck wild. It is so weird. It's very good. I think I don't know if I liked it more than The Thing, but I did like it a lot and would recommend it.
Can you watch it standalone?
Oh yeah, these were not like, I don't think John Carpenter ever declared like these are a trilogy of movies that I've made, and they're not really connected in any way other than themes. So you don't really have to have watched any of the others. I mean, you should have watched The Thing. You should watch The Thing. You should just do that with your life. But yeah, In the Mouth of Madness is like about a sort of Stephen King-esque figure who goes missing, and the insurance adjuster Sam Neill, who goes after him, finds like the city that's supposed to be fictional where all of his stories take place, but it's real and it's full of spooky things. And it's good. It's just sort of weird. It's, I think, much weirder than The Thing.
That feels like a good, like, again, cosmic horror type thing, but in like the good parts of, like, I think one of my favorite board games and stuff is Arkham Horror, the H.P. Lovecraft area, which, you know, that whole town kind of doesn't exist, Arkham.
Yeah.
But also, again, divorced of H.P. Lovecraft and his things.
His whole burden.
Yeah, I was going to say that that title is very Lovecraftian.
Yes, yeah. Ripped almost directly from In the Mountains of Madness. Yes. Yeah, I think there is definitely an influence, and it is definitely cosmic horror-y, but again, without the burden of H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 out of 3 recommended.
That is awesome. I think that is our show for today. Thank you both for joining me.
Yeah.
Allegra and Simone are not dead. They are just sick. They're just both convenient.
Do people assume that they're dead if you don't mention where they are? That's fair.
I mean, you know, if you're not looking at someone, are they dead or alive? It's the Schrodinger's kind of...
What a perfectly spooky note to end on.
Yeah, I can't even see Jelani right now, so who knows?
Jelani is alive.
Jelani is alive. Thank you for observing him. thank you both for joining me. This has been really fun. It is always nice to talk more spooky things.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Polygon Show. If you liked this episode, I hope you did, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about this show, because that is the best way for us to gain new listeners. And if you want to send us an email, polygonshow@polygon.com. This has been the Polygon Show.